This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Walls continue to close in on Sean Diddy Combs. Federal investigators preparing to bring more accusers in before a federal grand jury in New York City. This is different than what we had seen a little bit more than a month ago when they raided his properties into the trafficking allegations. This is another layer to it. Now, they could very easily work hand in hand, but with all the allegations and the civil suits have come against him and the video footage that they have obtained out of his home, saying that is a big part in this too, there's a lot of people they want to talk to. Joining me to discuss, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, Bob Motta. Bob, where do you think this is going? Are Diddy's days of freedom getting numbered very quickly?
I think Diddy is on the verge of being flame thrown by the federal government. Like, his days are done. The only in terms of who he was, is this mega mogul music producer, are over.
Yeah.
His reputation is destroyed no matter which way this thing ends up. In terms of the legal side of it, he's in deep shit. The feds do not play. Like, we've had this discussion before. Yeah. They're super diligent. They are in no rush to build their case. And that's exactly what they're going to do. And he just happens to be a very public figure, because usually it's under cover of darkness with the feds. They build their case over year, 2 years. Because when the federal government comes at you, when a U.S. attorney comes after you, they usually have ironclad cases that are much different than, you know, your typical state cases where you just have kind of run of the mill prosecutors that are moving forward on cases. They obviously have a much bigger volume in state cases than they do in fed cases, and they don't have the resources of the FBI at their disposal. So, you know, when they come at people with cases, that's why a vast majority of federal stuff, and when I'm saying a vast majority of it, their conviction rate's like 97 and up, 97%. They get convictions, and most people plead out.
Yeah.
Because the sentencing guidelines for the federal sentencing guidelines are, you'll get hammered with them, you know, and it just behooves you to work with the government, because if you don't, like, the downside is massive, and they built the sentencing guideline like that. So ultimately, whatever case they're going to build against him, and I can only speculate as to what it could be. I mean, it's got so many tentacles at this point.
That's the question. What do you think they're going to try and get out of these witnesses, and victims potentially here of Diddy with the federal grand jury?
I think it's very much connected to sex trafficking.
Yeah,
I really do. I think this goes hand in hand with the raid. I think that there's potentially a RICO case here. I think that there's, I think that they're looking at him as a sex trafficker, that he was using his power and his money in much the same way that Epstein was alleged to have done. And he was doing the same thing, and then that's where I'm thinking it's going. Yeah. I mean, I could be dead wrong on it, but it's got that vibe to it. I mean, what else can it be?
Well, exactly.
I mean, it can't be like a tax thing. Right. Yeah. This isn't like tax evasion. This has a much more nefarious feel to it. Like, tax evasion is what they go after dudes that they've been going after forever and can't get, like mob bosses.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you always see. Mob bosses used to go down on tax evasion charges because they couldn't get them on anything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have the evidence.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be really interesting, but like the Diddy that everyone knew, and whether you loved him or hated him during his heyday, that's done.
Yeah.
Like, there's no recovering from this. There's no recovering from that video of him beating that woman in the hallway of the hotel, man. There's no.
Yeah. Although I did make the point earlier on another interview, I said, R. Kelly was able to still have a successful career after being filmed raping a 14-year-old in front of Soul Train Awards at his house in Chicago.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Still had until, a string he of hands.
Until he didn't. But yeah, no, point well taken. He did continue to make a lot of money after that.
Yeah.
That came out, but it caught up to him.
Yeah.
You know, and like Diddy was way more powerful than R. Kelly, like in the scope of things.
Sure.
I mean, this guy was like a kingmaker. Mm-hmm. He had that type of money and that type of power in that industry to where, I mean, like he had scary type of power and scary type of money to where you like, this shit could be.
You like, feel for your life deep. If you cross him, I would imagine. I mean, and the fact that he, and I, the fact that he always adamantly denied anything was ever wrong, that all these people are going after him for money and it's this and it's that, and I'm wonderful, love, peace, whatever. And then the video drops, and then suddenly complete 180. Sorry, I did this. It was the lowest point in my life. And it just happens that like everything in that video matches up perfectly to what Cassie testified to in the civil suit. It pretty much gives him no credibility to anything that he's ever said. Should he have just for the well-being of everyone, I'm glad he put the video out. But if he's looking at self-preservation, was that video a bad idea? Because it really, it doesn't help his credibility at all. Nobody, I think, really feels bad for him or that he's truly sorry. It just kind of like reconfirms that all these allegations we keep hearing are probably pretty true.
Well, I think it was a terrible idea. You know, like the concept was that he was trying to get in front of it.
Yeah.
It was coming out whether he liked it or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only thing that he's sorry about is he got caught.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the only thing he's sorry about. Like none of that was genuine. Do you really think that he gives a shit? I don't think that he gives a shit.
Not a tear shed in that video.
I don't think he went back to his room and was punishing himself. Like all everything he said was bullshit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it like I gave it no weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it helped move the needle for him in terms of him becoming an empathetic figure at all.
No.
It made him look like a giant abusive piece of shit that had way too much money and power and abused the hell out of both of them. That's the way I feel about it. And I love when I see like dudes that have that type of money that choose to do nothing useful with it that can like better the world.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see them tumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do. You know,
yeah.
It's one thing if you've got that kind of money and you're trying to use it for good.
Yeah.
You know, it's another thing when you're using it to be a shit bag, you know, and that's what that dude did, man. And, you know, good riddance, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. It is coming back to bite him.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.